The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday, March the 6th. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Suckin.
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry,
what are you up to?
Well, the girls are trying to...
Yeah, they're all in a huddle. Listener, they're all in a huddle here, poring over something. And what are you looking at? Pictures of naked men or something?
No, I wish. But no, because... Oh, you're very good. So that's Elle, our lovely guest, Ellie.
Yeah.
Who... My stuff was just not going out. My
I've had that problem. I've had that problem.
What did you do, Ellie?
If you have a curry, that sorts it out.
Does it?
Yeah.
Sri Lankan one?
Yeah.
Just the three?
Three,
just
yeah.
Three.
Three okay. Sri Lankan curries. That's not easy to say, actually.
Pass me with some of that hand cream. I haven't had any.
Have you not? No. So I still didn't find out what you were actually doing.
We're going to ask her. Is Ellie on next?
She is in a minute. Well, no. Ramsay's on next, and then Ellie's on.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I don't know what she did, but she did something geeky.
All I did was take the Wi-Fi off to have it on 4G. Sometimes the Wi-Fi freezes.
Right.
That's my youth coming out in me.
Okay. So your Wi-Fi froze, did it?
Just nothing that, you know, I was putting all these videos out and just going...
Overload. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, you're right. Well done, Ellie.
I do have 11,000 emails in my inbox, so it could be...
Yeah, if you emptied your phone out now and again, it would help.
I know, I'll hand it over to you, you can sort it out.
Absolutely. I've got loads of tweets that I'm just going to do now, and then we're going to talk to our next guest. The lovely Natalie Benaig has said, we'd love a shout out, please, on the Business Bunker today. A call to creative individuals and organisations in Kent to enter the Kent Creative Awards. And you can find more info on this by going to kentcreativearts.co.uk. Thank you. And I'd just like to add my own to that. I went to the awards last year. Fabulous event.
Amazing.
Absolutely fantastic event at Ashford School. We have some fantastic creative businesses in Kent, and people don't realise how important creative businesses are to the economy. £80 billion to the economy, creative businesses.
Amazing. And yeah. You know, Adam should go, Adam Mikalski.
Yeah, he should, yeah.
My little Polish friend. I have
absolutely. So that was that.
Anthony Jones, he's creative.
Absolutely. I had a tweet from Bowdoin PR. And they say, I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker, please. Corporate charity, lifestyle and consumer PR, supporting small businesses in Kent. Do give them a follow on the Twitter, Bowdoin PR, B-O-W-D-E-N-P-R, Bowdoin PR. What you got, Jules?
Well, there's a breakthrough Women in Business International Women's Day.
Oh, it's International Women's Day on the 8th of March, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Okay,
yeah.
Ellie's going to that, and it's Thursday, March the 8th.
I wanted to go, but they wouldn't let me.
It's 10... Well, you have dressed up before.
I have, yeah.
What's stopping you? 10:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's at the Orangery, Turkey Meal Maidstone. Lovely venue there. And they say they aim to celebrate Kent's women in business and raise the visibility of women succeeding in business, as well as having the chance to meet and network with other dynamic ladies. Guests will hear from fantastic female speakers from a variety of backgrounds before enjoying a delicious two-course lunch. Okay, so they've got the Institute of Directors, the IOD. These are the partners, the Kent Women in Business magazine and the Federation of Small Businesses, the FSB. They're delighted to announce that they've got the amazing Dr. Sue Black, OBE, who was recently named in the list of the top 50 women in tech in Europe. She'd sort my phone out, wouldn't she? And nominated as the 119th most influential woman in the world. We've also got Dr. Patricia Lewis, reader in management at Kent Business School and an expert in gender issues at work. And also Sarah Luxford, who's passionate advocate of diversity in the workplace. All of this for just £32.54. Please go to Eventbrite, Breakthrough Women in Business event, or indeed Kent Business Radio.
I don't think there's many tickets left, to be honest. The last I saw was a couple of days ago, and I only had two tickets left.
Wow.
So, yeah. So if you do want to go, you might have to beg or buy tickets on the black market from a ticket tout or something.
I know we were doing a conference recently, and a man that we invited on, this is Frontier Funds, refused to come on because we had no women panelists.
Yeah.
And he said he'd made it, you know, one of his things that he would not go in if there were. And of course, in Gav's field, it's quite hard.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're really working on finding more women speakers in the Frontier Funds.
Cool. We've had a tweet from another new listener.
Have we?
Yeah, and they're not round. They're not from round here either.
Where are they from?
They're from Bird's Neck of the Wood. They're pirates.
Not from these parts.
No. They be from Plymouth, they be.
Which, do they have a para?
Yeah. No, they don't. Yeah. All right, my lovely. New Wave Marine. Oh, it's gone off now. Cool. New Wave Marine. Can we have a shout out on a Business Bunker, please, from the team at New Wave Marine Plymouth?
Wow.
Yeah. We're proud to be shortlisted for the Family Business Awards in London this summer, celebrating family businesses in Devon. So congratulations. Well done on being nominated for that. And we wish you much success at the awards.
I'm a bit confused. Is Plymouth in Devon?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Did you not?
I thought it was like Poole or, you know, sort Poole. Of a port. You know, Poole, P-O-O-L-E, like a port. Like Chichester.
Poole's in Dorset.
Plymouth. I know. I just thought it was a little, you know, I didn't know that Plymouth was in Devon. That's
did
really
you not?
Bad. Yeah.
Well, where do you think it was in? America.
I don't know. I thought it was
There's a Plymouth Rock in America.
Maybe.
I've been there.
So they sound very jaunty, these
Yeah, yeah, no, they're lovely. So congratulations to New Wave Marine in Plymouth. Follow them on the Twitter, NWM Plymouth.
But what do they do?
What's their they're name? A marine company.
I bet they all dress in navy and white stripes.
Do you think so?
Don't you?
No, they're not French. Yeah. They haven't got onions and garlic around their neck or anything.
All that jaunty, sort of, you know, yachty.
Well, there's a picture of them here and they're all dressed quite normally.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Have a look. Well, anyway, congratulations. Well done. And we'll keep our fingers crossed for you. And we hope you do really well in the London Family Business Awards. So congratulations. Well done. Do you know what we're going to do now? It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back. I guess it's kind of once a year these days, really, Ramsay.
It's a bit of an annual event.
No, it's just
great.
Do you know what? He's been in every studio.
I know we've ever had. Well, apart from one, he never came in the first studio because nobody else could get there because it was a potato factory on Romney Marsh. Yeah. It was just me.
Yeah. And some mash.
Yeah. But Ramsay's been to all our other studios and we've asked Ramsay to join us again. One, because we like him and he's lovely and he's got lots of interesting things to talk about. But mostly because it's the National Apprenticeship Week 2018 again this week. And Ramsay, you're heavily involved in the apprenticeship scene, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. I run a company called IPS International and we're the majority of our business just now, or certainly a large proportion of it, is apprenticeship training. Mm. And if anybody out there is thinking about taking on an apprentice, this is the time to do it. Mm. And probably it's been about the best time to do it for the last 12 months, because a lot of the listeners will know there's been a lot of chaos on both fronts in terms of the finance, the funding of apprenticeships. There's been a lot of changes there. Mm. And also the programs, the traditional apprentice programs are gradually being replaced by a thing called standards. Mm. And 12 months ago, I know I was on your show, Paul, we're talking about the standards and they seem to be, we're trying to work out what the difference was between the new standards and the old frameworks. But actually now the standards are really showing out to be something exciting and different, picking up a lot of the new stuff. So this is the time to be doing it.
Absolutely. It's been interesting. If you don't mind, I'm just going to read this. It was an email
ahead,
I got
Paul,
sent.
Yeah.
And it's a report on apprenticeships. And it's a report that was carried out by Alexander Mann Solutions. And they said a third of businesses view apprentices as the most valuable source of emerging talent in 2018.
Absolutely.
And that's according to a poll that they took of 2,000 senior HR professionals. And the data comes following the introduction of the apprenticeship levy last April, an initiative designed to boost the number of young people entering vocational training. And despite the fact, and this is kind of what we're referring to, that take-up dropped off 59% on the introduction of that. I'm not going to put you on the spot with that. We know the numbers.
Well, let's put him on the spot.
Well, no.
Ramsay likes being on the spot.
No, but I mean, my opinion of why it dropped off like that is because businesses just got confused up front, you know, about what it was. When they introduced the levy, everybody went, "Ooh, don't know about that."
Paul, you're absolutely right, and that was our experience. For employers who are used to having the funding dealt with effectively by providers, are now in a position where they effectively manage the funding, setting up a digital accounts, tracking it, keeping an eye on it and so on. But there are processes in place to help them to make that a lot easier. Mm. And as far as the standards themselves are concerned, they're actually proving to be excellent. They're gradually coming out in a whole lot of different disciplines. Mm. And they're like all the basic good stuff from the earlier programs, but moving into the modern age. There's some new technology and the engineering ones and so on. The biggest difference for standards, though, is that it's endpoint assessment thing. So I think a lot of people have been scared of this. You do a three and a half year apprenticeship, then at the end of it, the apprentice sits down and effectively gets assessed on the whole program at the end.
Mm. Did that not happen before then, Ramsay?
No, before with the apprenticeship programs, evidence was collected as you went through and things were signed off as you went through the program.
Which is quite actually more gentle.
It's a more gentle way, and what we've been sort of working with is how can we incorporate the best of both of these, because we don't want an apprentice at the end to suddenly get a fright and be faced, think, look, it all depends
but
in this 45 minutes. You know?
The last 2 days or 3 years and it could all go out the window. Yeah.
Well, actually, it's been the last 45 minutes. Talking one of the awarding organisations.
But also, if you leave it for the end, then they haven't got the feedback, surely.
No, absolutely. And what we are now incorporating in our programmes, and this is what I think the beauty of the standards is, it allows us to put even more emphasis on ongoing rigorous assessment during the program. We've always done assessment, but now we've actually got an opportunity to sit with the apprentice once a month to talk, review their portfolio, get them to get used to expressing themselves. So they're not just learning technical skills now, or health and social care skills, or management skills. They're actually getting used to justifying what they're doing, to challenging what they're doing, getting used to being interviewed, because at the end of it, they're going to have this. So by the time they're at the end of it, we reckon they're going to be really well placed to do this. Mm. It's really an exciting time.
Absolutely. And at long last, people in general, and I'll quantify this in a minute, are starting to understand the power of apprenticeships. And by people, I mean teachers, educationalists, parents. A lot of people are starting to come and looking at it as an option.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if you know this, but it is a fact and a piece of data that I tell people that a lot of people still find quite shocking. But actually, the lifetime earnings of an apprentice are now greater than the lifetime earnings of a graduate. And of course, you can become a graduate apprentice as well. If you do a level 6, level 7 apprenticeship, you can get a degree. So a lot of people are starting to recognize that now, and recognize the shortage of vocational training we've had in the past that has led to the situation that we're in now, where we have massive skill shortages. And as I said earlier, we have 810,000 unfilled full-time jobs in the UK currently. And that's having created nearly 2 million new jobs. So, you know, and we're on course to create another 1.2 million jobs in the next 18 months. So,
On the university thing, Paul, we're finding an increasing number of our apprentices each year in company are then moving on, doing degrees, becoming managers, becoming senior managers.
Yeah.
And in fact, from apprentices, a number of apprentices from 10, 15 years ago are now coming back to us, sending apprentices from their companies.
Yeah, sure.
So it's a real, it's not just learn a bit of stuff and then do the job. It's learn a bit of stuff, and then the world's open to you after that.
Yeah,
it's a tremendous route.
Yeah. Talking of the world, we've got, I'm videoing you, Ramsay.
Oh, thank you, Jules.
We've got the lovely nurse, Liz Jay, who's watching from Maryland.
Maryland, and on the east coast of America. Hello, nurse Liz.
Hello, and then we've got the lovely Terence Gorman, who's also watching from the USA.
Okay.
So he's an author. So you're going global, Ramsay. And of course, they're going to go wild about your Scottish accent, being American.
Thank you, Jules. You've really thrown me off my stride.
He was in full flow there, and now doesn't know what to do with that piece of information.
Nurse Liz would be expecting a kilt.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have a few seconds to show my modesty, and then we'll get on with it.
So what kind of skills are we talking about? Are we talking about electricians or hospitality? Or
right across the board. I mean, my organisation, we focus very heavily on electrical, mechanical engineering, maintenance. Also, we've got a big health and social care training facility on the south coast. We do a lot in that, business admin, IT, motor vehicles. So it's quite a range. But what I would say is that we've developed a lot of experience in working with the funding, the new funding systems, and working with these new standards as they're coming out. And if you want information on any type of apprenticeship, we can help you. If we can deal with it and supply it ourselves, we'll do it. But if not, we'll signpost.
Absolutely.
And we work with other partners who can then deliver other things.
That's fantastic. I was going to ask, if you don't mind, Ramsay, you know, as a smaller business, if someone's sitting there going, well, I think I need an apprentice, or I'd like to investigate more, but can you explain as gently as possible what the process is to a small business that suddenly wakes up one day and goes, I might hire an apprentice. What happens then? What do they do?
The first thing to do is give us a call.
Right.
And we have a team of people who'll talk about what you're looking for.
Yeah.
What do you need for your business? We can sort out the funding. If you're a small business, you're not going to be subject to the levy because you need a payroll of more than 3 million to be, to be fit in with that. Generally the training costs are pretty much covered through government funding if you're a small business, providing you're doing an apprenticeship program.
Yeah.
If you're struggling with the thought of having to employ somebody during the apprenticeship, we partner with an apprentice training agency who will take care of the employment of that apprentice with the you as the business being the sponsoring organization.
Right.
But basically all these questions we can answer.
Okay.
We provide training, we provide support, we work with collaboratory with other organizations who can help with this as well.
Fantastic.
So just get in touch with us.
I mean, that's great, isn't it? And that's really what we need is someone that knows what they're doing to point us in the right direction, because as small business owners, there are so many things that we have to worry about and concentrate on and think about.
We're
despite
busy.
Despite doing our business day to day, I suspect that was one of the reasons why it dropped off suddenly, back when they changed all the rules, because everybody had just found out how to do it, and then the government changed it like they always do, and everybody went, you know what? Oh God, I can't be bothered to go through all that again.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Which is a real shame, but it's recovering now.
Yeah, and the other thing I'd say to any small businesses, I mean, right this minute, is if you want instant information on this, we've got a website on the apprenticeships. It's www.ips-apprenticeships.co.uk, and it's got very clear visuals. Our new telemarketer Natalie has been doing a great job in getting this put up for us. So just have a look at that, and all the answers are on there, and all the contact details.
Can we move on a little bit? And if you don't mind, I just want to kind of explore the kind of people that you're seeing, Ramsey, and how you're seeing them that are actually doing apprenticeships.
Yeah, you're talking about the actual
apprentices themselves.
Yeah.
I probably haven't formed the question very well, but I'm kind of interested to know who's looking at doing apprenticeships, what's inspiring them to do apprenticeships, where they're coming from, how they're getting signposted towards those apprenticeships, if you see what I mean.
Right. Where they're coming from, we work with the National Apprenticeship Recruitment Service, which is an online service, people can apply through that. We do outreach to schools. We work with various job fairs and so on. In fact, the National Apprenticeship Show in Kent is on the 22nd. I've got the dates here, 22nd to 21st of March. It's up at the Kent Showground.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We're on stand 22 there if you want to get in touch. But there, a lot of younger apprentices are coming from school. Mm. They're looking for careers in engineering and electronics. And I think more and more youngsters are seeing it as a practical way that leaves an open door at the end of
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Well, the reason I asked the question is I got an email the other day from a lady that said, my son is at school and he wants to leave school and he wants to do an apprenticeship in construction. And I'm going, absolutely. We the biggest shortage of staff we have, 35% of all vacancies are in construction. And that's set to get worse. And I said, yeah, absolutely. And he went, and she said, I haven't got a clue where to start looking. I don't know where to look at to find him an apprenticeship in construction. So what's the starting point for a parent or a child at school that's thinking, right, I want to do an apprenticeship in X, Y, or Z?
As I said earlier, Paul, I think we can offer advice on all manner of apprenticeships. Okay. If we don't provide them ourselves, then
you
we know who does.
Yeah.
But the first stage is the same. It's about the time you're going to spend, the sort of qualifications, the sort of pre-knowledge you need to be eligible to do well in the program. Mm-hmm. And we can take care of that. So as I say, that website address, I get on that. There are numbers on that.
Yeah.
Contact us. And if we can't help you directly, we will put
show you where you can. Fantastic.
And all these questions are answered on there.
Yeah, okay. No, that's cool. And I think that's it, isn't it? It's about the general awareness of people out there and knowing where to start with things like this.
It's a starting point.
And you need a good starting point, you know, and you need a good signposting starting point, as Ramsey has said, which is
excellent. I think it's great that you can just pick up the phone and talk to them and they will take over and walk you through the whole process.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's needed.
Because that's exactly what's needed.
Yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It's not just for the apprentices, of course, for the employers as well.
Yeah.
We have employers that are hesitating because they're just not sure. Well, how's the funding going to work? Yeah. What time's it going to take? Yeah. What support do I have to do?
Yeah.
The answers are all there.
Mm.
That's in fact, brilliant. I can say much, much more comfortably this year. The answers are there now. Mm. This time last year, everything was changing.
Sure. Yeah.
Even we didn't have
that's
the answers.
That's when we last saw you, wasn't it?
Yes. I was a year younger then, Jill.
Mm-hmm. Oh, were you? Mm-hmm. Well, my electrician, Ashley, came round and he's got an apprentice and it's great. You can see how much time it's saving him. Mm. Ashley's a brilliant electrician. But this apprentice is just, you know, whizzing around doing stuff while he is
absolutely.
Doing other. It just saves time. Amazing.
I'm really pleased that it's taken a long time, but I'm really pleased that the whole apprenticeship thing has come back into the forefront of what we're doing. And as the Alexander Mann survey showed, more and more employers now are looking at that as a way forward. And it's not also just the things that you think it is as well. Lots of accountants and law firms are now going the same route. They're going, why go to university? You don't need to go to university. You can do an apprenticeship. And then because things like accountancy has its own qualifications anyway, yep, that you need.
ATA. Absolutely.
And all that kind of stuff. So they're taking students straight from school and going, we'll put you on an apprenticeship and you can become an accountant or a lawyer. So it's interesting days. And I don't know if you've been involved with this, but I'm involved from time to time with the University of Kent at Canterbury, and they've just developed an apprenticeship school at the university. So basically, if you're doing a level 6 or level 7 apprenticeship, which is a degree awarding, apprenticeship, they now have the resources to do whatever it is they do at the end of that period to award the degree. So the universities have started to adopt apprenticeships as well.
Yeah.
Well, I think what's happening now is the universities are seeing this as a real entry route to a degree.
Yeah, absolutely.
So getting, yeah. And that makes good sense. Yeah. Just going back to the accounting one, we've got a number of AAT apprentices now coming through on accounting.
Right.
Again, as a route into any profession, yeah, it's a great practical starting route.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's funded.
Yeah.
And you're doing stuff straight away.
Absolutely.
You're in there and doing the job. It's really tremendous.
And earning money rather than running up a debt.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm. Cool. I mean, so do you have anything special planned for this week, Ramsey, for apprenticeship week, or is it just business as usual?
No, there's nothing particularly special planned. We're having a big push just now on new apprenticeships. We've got an engineering intake planned for September. Mm. But the engineering is the one area of the business where we take people in the majority in a September, and it fits with a whole lot of other things. So we got a big push on that. At the apprenticeship show, we'll have a stand there, and there'll be a lot of promotions going there.
So remind us when that is again.
The apprenticeship show is the 20th to the 21st of March, and we are on stand 22.
And that's at the county showground.
That's at the county showground.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going to be going on the next couple of weeks. But I would say to employers, this is the time we're getting a lot of demand now coming in. I think now employers are seeing, right, the funding's being sorted out. The standards look good. They're manageable. The other thing with the standards, of course, that makes them hugely different from the last framework is not just that they're up to date, but this employer groups have been putting these together. So they've been taking all the good stuff and then tailoring it.
Yep.
So we're really providing now, apprenticeships are providing what's needed out there.
Yeah.
So, and of course, adult apprentices, you know, if you've got adults, they're a large proportion. It doesn't just need to be the youngsters.
Yeah. Sure.
Yep. People who are, you know, in one trade or in one business or one skill in your organization. You
want to develop. Changes.
Career change. Yeah. Whack, there it is. The funding's there for it.
That's great. It's
just tremendous.
Mm. I think there's hope for you and me, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely.
Career change.
Yeah.
I've got your forms here, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. You've always wanted to be an engineer.
No, I'm going to be a makeup specialist.
Yeah.
You do have that look about you, Paul.
Yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah.
I'm only joking.
You've got the skin for it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I have now. I'm all soft.
Yeah.
I'm all soft and smooth.
Well, Susie's smiling now. That's another customer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just want to read out IPS International's website for you. So it's IPS for sugar, -apprenticeships, with a plural, ips-apprenticeships.co.uk, ips-apprenticeships.co.uk. And you heard Ramsay say, just pick up the phone and talk to them if you're sort of wavering and you haven't got
You just want some information. You just want to know how it works or what you do, you know. And it doesn't matter, as you said, it doesn't matter which side of the equation you're on, whether you're a student, a parent, or an employer. If you're thinking about apprenticeships, give them a call, look at a website, check it out. Ask some questions.
Yes. In fact, in terms of giving us a call, I just see Natalie on my briefing notes here has put down 01634 298808, and you can talk to our business development team.
Fabulous. Look, you see, he's done all his homework.
No, somebody else has done my homework for me, Jules. But
the links to Ramsay's website are on the Kent Business Radio website as well, and they will remain there forever. So if you after listening to this, or if you're listening to on the catch-up service or on the podcast, if you go to the website, bizradio.co.uk, the links to the website can be found there with Ramsay's name. Ramsay, thank you for that. We wish you well and continued success with what you're doing.
Thank you, Paul.
We think it's absolutely brilliant. Apprenticeships are the lifeblood. Bringing new young talent into the workforce is where we need to be at. We're lucky in the UK. We have relatively fairly low youth unemployment, down at 10% level now, which is still 10% too high, but it's a lot lower than everyone else. But we're going in the right direction, and apprenticeships play a huge, huge part in that. So all power to what you do. And thank you for joining us once again. We'll try and stay still this time. So the next time you join us, and it will be lovely to have you back again.
I know where I'm coming.
Yeah,
that's great.
We won't keep moving. We're not trying to avoid you.
The good news is each studio is better and better.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know, when you think back to the old days when we have a porcupine rolling in.
Yeah,
the studio,
Fred the porcupine. Yeah, that was a bit, snaffled the biscuits. Yeah, absolutely. Ramsay, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to see you as always. We wish you continued success, and we hope the event later on in the month at the County Showground goes well for you on stand 22.
Stand 22.
Get along, see Ramsay and the team there. They'll all be there to answer your questions on apprenticeships. Ramsay, thank you so much. Oh,
thank you very much.
Right, we've still got dozens of tweets coming in. I haven't even read an email yet.
No, well, you don't do much work. I just wanted to say at the Slowpop, which was amazing, before my Igaloo adventure, I met a lovely new person.
Eskimo?
No, I did meet an Eskimo, but I also met Barry Thompson, who staggered in by sled.
He ain't Gorgeous George by any chance, is he?
Yeah. Do you know him?
I know of him. Funnily enough, I know his lovely lady wife, Sharon Udermullins. Yeah.
I'm so glad you said her surname.
Yeah.
Because I struggle with her surname. How do you say it?
Udermullins.
You see, you're very good. Is that German? Yeah.
I asked her once where it came from, and she went, England.
No.
Yeah. Apparently, I might be wrong. Sharon, if you're listening, I'm really sorry here. I'm fairly sure she told me it was a Yorkshire accent. A Yorkshire name.
Doesn't sound very Yorkshire to me.
No, I know. Everybody thinks she's Dutch, but
I thought it was German. But anyway, I think Barry did tell me,
Barry's not. No.
No, but I was on my second bottle of Prosecco when he was explaining.
Oh, it was breakfast, was it?
But he has this amazing app, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, me too.
You probably know, Me Now Co. Follow him. @MeNowCo. Everybody in the world follow him. And find out, because this lets you, if you, for example, need an apprentice electrician or engineer, you can put it on the app. Or if you've got a space, say you've got Ramsay, an apprentice engineer who's starting a course with you, and then he pulls out because he's ill, or he breaks a leg or something, or he's fallen in love and he goes to New York, whatever. You can put it on this app. We have one space left for an apprentice engineer, and it will go on this app and it goes out bing pong to everyone. Or should you need a physiotherapist and your physio's booked up for 3 weeks, the physio can put on this app, I've just had a cancellation, call me, I can fix your shoulder. So Me Now Co. I think it's good, don't you, Paul Andrews?
Excellent.
I think it sounds really good.
Ramsay's impressed.
I want to talk to our next guest.
I do.
We've got a few things I need to tell you about. I need to tell you about the Unconference coming up on the 15th of March at the Westgate Hall in Canterbury, 9:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. It's being run by Start My Biz and Grow My Biz, who are two Canterbury City Council organisations in association with the lovely folks at Rift Accounting. It's totally free to attend. It's going to be a great day. It is an unconference, so we don't know what's going to happen. You just rock up and hope somebody starts speaking. Basically, it's how it works. But this will be the third time they've run it, and it's been bigger and better every time. It's totally free, as I said. So if you'd like to go to it and reserve your free place, if you go to their website, which is mybiz, B-I-Z, -canterbury.co.uk. That's the unconference on the 15th of March at the Westgate Hall in Canterbury. I've also got some events taking place at Dragon Co-working. The Dragon's 10, which is a business startup event, had to be rescheduled because of the inclement weather last week.
Yeah.
So it's been moved to the 5th of April. And that's the Dragon's 10 business startup event from 6:30 in the evening. There's 10 influential speakers giving 10-minute talks. The speakers are Zoe Cairns, Amwen Cooper, Sally Marshall, Neil Dixon, Ian Morris, Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, Natalie Thompson, David English, Nicole Debman, and Kate Sedgwick-Jones. And, of course, the whole thing is kicked off by Ash Lawrence of Business Mindset. And then on the 7th of March, there's ABC Networking, the 6 o'clock club. All these events are at Dragon Co-working. Hello, we've got selfies going on all over the place here.
We've got me taking pictures of selfies with Ramsay and Susie.
Absolutely. And then on the 14th of March, are you GDPR ready? That's at 4:30. The 16th of March, What's Zero? That's the cloud accounting package, 10:30 a.m. And the 23rd of March, the business clinic at 12:30 a.m. All of those events are taking place at Dragon Co-working, which is at the St. George's Hotel in Chatham. And do you know what? I've been putting this off because I'm going to get it wrong. And I apologise right now, Ellie. I really am sorry. But it's an absolute pleasure to welcome, for the very first time, to the Business Bunker Show.
Kakia.
That's Ellie Kakia.
My first name.
Ellie Kakia.
Yeah.
Kakia. Kakia. Yeah. Oh.
Stay with the accent.
Yeah, yeah. Kakia.
Like IKEA.
Yeah, IKEA.
Yes.
That's a good comparison.
Which is not at all Maltese.
No, it isn't, but you can make it sound English.
Before I need to interrupt you, because me now, the Barry Thompson, has said actually it's French.
Oh, is it?
Shazza.
Oh, right. I misunderstood. Thank you for that, Barry.
Not Icelandic, not German. Not
no, but I thought she told me it was English, but obviously not. It's French. There you go.
Anyway, back to Ellie.
Ellie, and I'm going to call you Ellie from now on, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Cool. Ellie, you're a business owner. You're a young lady that's just started a business, renowned resourcing.
Yeah, indeed.
I want you to tell us, because, you know, we really do love new startup businesses on a Business Bunker Show. How long have you been going?
Since July last year.
Okay, so you're coming up for your first anniversary.
Yeah, coming up in a few, probably probably now March, so I'm about 8 months in.
Don't ask us where we are, because we have no idea.
Me either, I'm on the same page as you then.
So, Ellie, tell us about what it is you do, renowned resourcing. I mean, the clue's in the name, obviously, but tell us what it is you do.
We are, well, at the moment we're kind of family run, but we're a small kind of family run recruitment service based in Maidstone in Kent. So I'd worked within recruitment for kind of 4 to 5 years, enjoyed it, but found that I'm probably not your natural kind of salesperson. And I quite enjoy the process of actually understanding a business, also understanding my candidates, meeting them face to face and matching them together. I've learned a good way of recruiting. I cover all different areas. But I'm also able to offer a kind of more reasonable price for it as well, which is part of the reason why I went out on my own to do it.
Okay. So if I understand you correctly, and tell me if I don't, what you've kind of moved away from is the old pilot high, knock it out, banging it away on the phone, selling, and moved into trying to help businesses understand their recruitment process, understand what they want. And have you, when you say you've changed the pricing model, have you changed that completely away from contingency, or, you know, how does the pricing work? You don't have to tell us how much it is, but, you know, how does it actually work?
Well, essentially, usually as the salary kind of goes up, so would the, the fee.
Yeah.
We're just quite flexible. So generally, a lot of the time, you can be paying 40% of the annual salary to find somebody that you want. Ours vary, but they're pretty much half that a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And at the moment, we're actually doing an introductory offer for all new clients where it's 8% on all of the recruitment. So, but I think, in terms of the way that we do it. I mean, each business is quite a bespoke service, so yeah. Each business might want to do it a certain way. Some businesses might want us to go down and meet with them. Others may not. It's quite varied.
Sure.
But we'll kind of tailor it to the, you know, the person and the company that we're working with.
Mm. Okay. I mean, recruitment is an industry that's changing fast. But, you know, technology's had an impact on recruitment, like it has on a number of businesses. So you were working in recruitment previously,
yeah.
Presumably for an alternative company.
Yeah.
And you decided to start on your own.
Yeah. Scary.
Exactly. what I'm trying to kind of uncover from you is your thought processes, how you viewed it, what the stumbling blocks were to starting, if there were any indeed. I'm not suggesting there had to be stumbling blocks, but I kind of want to get a feel from you about the early days. You know, you made that decision, scary decision, as you say.
Yeah.
What happened next?
Well, in honesty, I knew that the recruitment side of it I was good at.
Yeah, sure.
Because when it comes to relationship building, which is probably the big part of recruitment, I'm pretty good at it, I'd say. It's my area that I kind of do well at in terms of candidates, yeah. And clients. So I'll build great relationships with them, they'll keep in touch with me. So I knew that I could do that.
Mm.
The actual running a business is something completely different, which
sure.
I now realise.
Yeah.
So the whole kind of, I suppose, business running side, I've had a lot of support and help from other areas, and I listen to experienced people is probably the main thing. I know that I'm not going to know it all straight away. I've actually dragged my poor mother into my business with me, and I suppose because she's got more life experience in that sense, she helps with the running, the organisation. She's a bit like an office manager for the business. I work quite closely with, I'm not sure if you've heard of the Kent Foundation.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
And to be honest, if it wasn't for them, there'd be lots of things I wouldn't have been able to do. Being 23 and going into a kind of a business owner role is quite a scary thing to do. Well,
it's interesting, isn't it? And I'm glad you said what you said, because it is very true. And it doesn't matter what your age you are. If you're starting a business for the first time, the vast majority of people that start a business in a field that they're comfortable in. Yeah, that they've got experience in. But of course, the one thing that most people don't have experience in is running a business.
Yeah.
Yeah. They know the industry, but they don't know how to do VAT returns, profit and loss accounts, balance sheets, and all that other bazooma, auto payroll, you know, the pensions and all the other nonsense that you have to do to run a business. And that's the bit that's scary, really, I guess.
It definitely is. And I think, to be honest, that's part of the reason why I think poor old mum's been dragged in with me, because she kind of deals with that side of it. But yeah. I realise that you can't do all of it. You can't, and it's kind of doing a little bit of everything. But, I mean, really, starting this business, I just knew that I wanted to put my passion into what I enjoy doing out there, and that a lot of kind of recruitment generally and recruitment agencies don't always have the best, I would say, reputation a lot of the time, because it's more about just making money and sending 20 CVs forward to somebody, whereas that isn't the way that I work at all. If I don't understand what it is that you do, then I'm not going to put somebody forward that isn't right. I get to know the companies. But with the Kent Foundation, they give me like a mentor as well, which is great.
So absolutely.
Every month I'll meet up with him, and Adrian's actually had his own business, so he's been there and done that. And I will listen to any advice. If anyone's got any advice to give me, feel free to share it out, because I definitely think it's good to gain the knowledge from other people as well who've been there and had those mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely. For those that don't know, the Kent Foundation, that's Stuart and Liam and the gang there.
Yeah.
They're a KCC kind of funded organisation that support business startups, especially amongst young entrepreneurs and young business people. And they've got a fabulous track record of helping new businesses start in the county. Yeah, they're really good. Did you go to Blast last time?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I had, they held an event where the mayor of Maidstone was there, and there was a wine, and when I've had a few wines, I'm much more relaxed and confident. But, you know, they're really, really good. And if you just call them about anything, really, it can be just a general question or it can be networking events. And it's just sometimes good to speak with like-minded people.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're 8 months in.
Yeah.
Heading towards your first anniversary, which is the big point, you know, because lots of startup businesses don't make it to their first year for one reason or another. You're almost there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where you are now, looking back to when you made that decision that went, do you know what? I'm going to work for myself.
Yeah.
What's your views now? What would, if you could say now to where you were 8 months ago, what would you say? What were the big things that you'd warn yourself about?
to not be afraid to make mistakes.
Yeah.
I think. And it is probably the best thing that I did. Like, it really was. I think it gave me confidence, which is a funny thing, because I knew I could do the job, but I always had nerves. I'm quite self-critical, I would say, when it comes to certain areas. But then going 8 months in, and I used to be frightened of sometimes talking to directors, and now I'm supposedly a director, which that's what I mean. Everyone has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
But we've now placed 13 candidates in all different areas. So, and these are all new clients, because obviously I couldn't contact any of my old clients, etc. So it's been really positive.
Mm.
But it's now kind of taking it to that next step, really,
and
continuing it. And I've now trained my mum up in recruitment.
I met your mum outside, and she looked fabulous and didn't look at all worn out.
Oh, so she's wonderful. She's a great help.
Do you have any specialisms for?
No, so we work across the generalist field. I mean, to be honest, I used to specialise at one of my old firms, but what I found was there was a bit of conflict of interest. If I was working with all of the same clients and wanted all of the same staff, you're then kind of, right, okay, so who do I put forward for this job or for that job? And it becomes a bit difficult. I've kind of learned how to really understand a company's individual needs and what it is that they are looking for. But generally, it's office professional. A lot of the time, people come to me for accountants, lawyers, but then I placed an engineer, I placed a trainer, it's quite varied.
Mm. It's interesting, isn't it? Each company, each organisation that you deal with will have a very definite culture.
Yeah, I agree.
Even if they're in the same business, and therefore a candidate will not necessarily suit one company that suits another.
Absolutely.
And I could give you an example of my background when I had a proper job a long, long, long time ago. I used to work in a city, I worked for Goldman Sachs Investment Bank, and one of our big rivals was JP Morgan. But the culture of JP Morgan was radically different to Goldman Sachs. And a few people tried to swap between the two organisations in terms of changing jobs, and it never worked. And it wasn't because anyone was right or wrong. It's just the cultures were so radically different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without being rude to anyone, JP Morgan was very blue chip, dying in the wall, New York yacht club type stuff. Mm. And Goldman Sachs was quite thrusting and aggressive. And the two cultures were radically different. And, you just couldn't swap between them. Even though on paper, you could go, wow, this would be a fabulous candidate, had ticked all the right boxes, but culture-wise just didn't fit. And I think that's where you're hitting it, isn't it?
Absolutely. You can't see whether a candidate's any good just by a bit of paper. This is the thing. And I think because a lot of agencies have send a lot of CVs out to people, but they haven't met them. Every single candidate that I will put forward, I've interviewed face-to-face, so I've got to understand what it is that they want. And a lot of the time, it isn't about the skills. Like, obviously, the skills are important, but the personality and whether that person's going to fit in with the team, whether what they want out of that role is going to be what that company can offer them. And I think that's the reason why I like to build relationships with both my clients and candidates, because then I can understand what the business is like, what kind of people fit in there. I go down and meet with them, and then it's a nice feeling to be able to kind of put different candidates within their setting, and they're all kind of growing together. But if you haven't got the right kind of ethos or beliefs, if it doesn't match up, then it doesn't work. A lot of the time, going from as you say, if you've got, say for instance, it was a telecoms company, going from one telecoms company to another, how they sell or how they what products they're dealing with is completely different. So you might think you can go straight in there and do it, but you can't. Which probably is it's important to get to know the right person and get the right people in the right businesses.
So you're looking at your passion, but you're also looking at other people's personalities and style of working.
Yeah, it is. That's a big part of it. And I think if you can break down what that, for instance, if there's a particular position, if you can break down that role in detail, the day-to-day, the skills they're going to be having to deal with, the types of systems they're using, then when you're going through with the candidates, go through that in detail as well and try to match it up effectively. It works. It's just about, to be honest, putting in the time and the effort, which a lot of business owners don't have the time to do.
Sure.
So you need a good recruiter to kind of help you do it.
I love her passion. Paul Andrews, Ellie's passion.
Trying to talk slowly. Amazing. I do talk a million miles an hour.
No.
Can you all hear me?
I haven't found out where you're based.
Maidstone.
Okay. She said you weren't listening.
Well, I'm,
I am videoing live and tweeting and things, so I can't always catch up. So Maidstone, okay.
It's
and
really
your catchment is.
It's really the whole of the southeast, to be honest. We started to go into London a little bit as well.
Right.
We've got a couple of clients there, but really it's the southeast. If I can't get to meet with the candidates, because say for instance, my client's got a site and it's up north. I would do a Skype or a FaceTime interview, so there's always going to be a way of doing the interview so that I still get to kind of meet with them. But, yeah, it's generally within the southeast.
And with house prices, how they are now in the southeast, I'd love to go up north.
Yeah.
Because they're crazy, aren't they, down here? So moving people would be great also. No,
it is. It's interesting. And now I can kind of do whatever I want to do, however I want to do it, because it's much more flexible.
Mm.
And it's really focusing on both the clients and the candidates. It's important.
Cool. Ellie, I'm going to ask you a really horrible question.
Oh, no. What if I can't answer it?
Just say, mind your own business. Yeah. What are your ambitions for the business?
I find that quite a tough question.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
The reason why is because I really, really enjoy what I do now.
Yeah.
And I want it to grow and I want to have staff and I want it, but what I know is probably what every business owner finds hard is having the people in your business that are right, as I know from recruiting for them. And I wouldn't want to probably get consultants in that are already doing their job.
Yep.
I'd want people that are similar to me in terms of what they believe in, caring about putting the right person in the right job. So because of that, growing it in that way, I know I've got to have the right staff. I'd like to have an office. I'd like to have people underneath me. But I'm not sure whether you can be a 23-year-old manager with staff, can you?
I think you probably can, but yeah.
I would have thought so.
Yeah.
But it's really, I want to keep enjoying it.
Yeah.
You know, Ellie.
That's the truth. I want to keep enjoying what I'm doing. And at this point in time, I'm just enjoying putting people in the right job, getting brilliant testimonials from my clients saying to me that for somebody at a young age who's built my team, it's brilliant. And all of these clients are people that I haven't worked with before. And it is exciting. So I don't know, maybe you should ask that question in 6 months and I might have more of an idea.
Absolutely. No, you answered it well, and that's good. Yeah.
Ellie is 23, but she's an old soul. You know, you are very, very mature.
She's a mature 23.
You completely have focus and you know exactly where you're going.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could be 65 with your passion and your knowledge almost. So don't even think about the age thing. I wouldn't.
No.
Sadly, we got to the end of our time on the show. We've run out of time.
We had three amazing guests.
I know, and it's been really fascinating. Ellie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's a real pleasure to talk to you. Ellie is from Renown Resourcing, and give us a shout for your website so that people can find you, or your Twitter handle, or LinkedIn, or wherever you want people to find you.
If you probably go on the website, we've got LinkedIn, Twitter, and everything. So it's renownedresourcing.co.uk, and all of my links are on there.
Fantastic. Ellie, thank you so much for that. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you, and we wish you fantastic success going forward into the future. And, you know, your passion knows no bounds, and that's brilliant, and that's what it takes to succeed in business. So keep
on. Me on. It wasn't quite so scary as what I first
thought. No,
cool. Come on again now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, next week.
Cool. Thank you for that. I want to tell you about some things that are happening around Channel Radio, actually. We've got quite a few new shows starting. Tomorrow, we've got a new show starting at 4 p.m. And it's presented by Julie Flower. And you can follow Julie on the Twitter. Julie Flower, the number 4, is her Twitter handle. And it's a pilot. And there's a Twitter handle for the pilot show. And the pilot show is called Funny Ideas. Now, wait for this. It's a comedy show about HR.
Oh.
But it's about business, but with a funny slant on it. You're going to have to listen because it's going to be.
I wonder if Gemma Fairclough Haynes knows all about this.
Nobody will know about it because it's only launching tomorrow at 4 p.m. Do have a listen. Funny Ideas, it's called. There's a Twitter handle. Funny Ideas Pod is what it's called. 4 p.m. here on channelradio.co.uk/2. Do check that out.
I'm laughing at our guests because they're doing.
They're all in selfie mode now, aren't they? They're all bomb happy now. It's all over and they've all finished and everything. Yeah, absolutely. As I say, we are at the end of another show. I'd like to say a huge thank you to today's show sponsors, the lovely folks at All Health Matters. There's loads of events happening. If we didn't get around to reading them all out and reading out all your tweets, I do apologise, but we did have hundreds of them, but we had some really interesting guests that we needed to talk to too. It just leaves me to say a big thank you to our guests today, Penny Wallace from Best Business Events, who joined us on the phone, the lovely Susie Fish from
Empowering Natural Beauty.
Empowering Natural Beauty. Ramsay Cowan from IPS International.
Thank you, Paul.
Ellie Kakia.
Good job.
Oh, yeah.
From Renowned Resourcing.
Rhymes with IKEA.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, my lovely co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin. And don't forget, she'll be back on April the 10th with the newly reformed Scoff and Quaff show.
Yes, if she's sober.
Yeah, so do join us for that. We've got loads of new shows starting. Coming up later today on Channel Radio at 5 o'clock, we have Mr. Craig Avery on Channel Radio 1, the ladies' favourite in his stripy socks, with a couple of hours of showtime on celebrity interviews and music. And then we have a brand new show launching at 7 p.m. Mr. Keith Peverell with Folk in a Barn.
Sounds nice.
So that'd be good, won't it?
I do like a bit of folk.
Yeah, and then, of course, as always, on Channel Radio on a Tuesday, we finish off with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Cool drum beat and a squidgy bass. I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
As always, on a Tuesday evening, we finish off with the wonderful Mr. Boy George with the Club Culture show.
Great
here
show
on Channel Radio. Fantastic show. Do tune in, 10 o'clock until midnight. Have a listen to that. We've had a last-minute tweet as well from the New Appointments group. And they said, Vanilla Web, Jill Serkin, hi Paul and Jules, shame on us, we've only just tuned in.
They just woke up.
Yeah, you missed us. And they said, big shout out please for the Kent CIPD Awards on Friday, as we're sponsors of this Excellence in Recruitment Award. So, fantastic. It's New Appointments Group and the Kent CIPD Awards this Friday. You just got that in time, guys, before we went off air. So, well done.
And also, Barry Thompson said yep. Thank you for mentioning as well.
Yep.
For shout out.
And I'm watching a lovely video of the lovely Ellie talking to you, which you've periscoped. So, I'm just watching that too. So, let me give that a retweet.
I think you'll find yourself on there as well.
Yeah. All hunched over my microphone.
Over your hand cream.
Yeah. I keep slipping. Every time I put my hands down, I slip forward. No, I don't really. It's sunk in. It's lovely.
Remind me who our sponsor was.
It was All Health Matters.
All Health Matters.
But I need to try out my new hands in a minute, ladies. So, because they're all smooth and soft. So, I need to do something with
them. Sounds a bit ominous.
I'm off.
Yeah, absolutely. It's unbelievable. No, it's really good. Cool. Anyway, listen, we've reached the end of another Business Bunker show. We'll be back with you next Tuesday with another great lineup of guests from the small and medium-sized business world. So do have a good week, everybody. Stay safe. Keep on keeping on. There's loads of events going on. And I'm sorry if we didn't get round to reading out yours, but you can find them all out on the Kent Business Radio website by going to the events page where they're all listed. But we'll be back next week with another show. Take care for now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.